Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, we have examined the significance of Christ's resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection, as it is presented to us here. And now we need to take up the significance of our identification with Christ, because that's all integral to what Paul is talking about here in regard to the believer and sin. And the believer's relationship with sin is linked to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the believer's identification with Christ in those events. And so the significance of our identification with Christ, and we begin by noting that this is a well-understood teaching, or at least it seemed to be, it was apparently, to Paul and to the Christians in his day. For he says in verse 3, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" Or, I think the original King James says, "Know ye not." He might be saying something like, you can't possibly be ignorant of this. If you don't understand what it means to die to sin, you don't understand the meaning of baptism, and that comes at the very beginning of the Christian life, and this is basic, fundamental, elementary truth for all believers that I'm reminding you of now, seems to be what Paul is saying. And yet I would say that in many ways this is a very challenging truth to grasp and to apply to our lives, to understand exactly what the Bible is talking about here. That has certainly been my own experience, and that has been my observation as I have seen the misunderstanding and application of this truth in the lives of many of God's people and even in the teaching of some of God's people. But the significance of our identification with Christ, first of all, can be understood in terms of baptism. And we are told here that baptism pictures union with Christ. It pictures spiritual union. It pictures spiritual baptism, if we can use that term. You won't find that term in the Bible, but it pictures spiritual baptism. Water baptism pictures, symbolizes, spirit baptism. Now, because it is obvious that there is such a thing as baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, which all true believers have experienced, sometimes it is difficult to confuse what the Bible is saying about water baptism with what it may be saying about spirit baptism. And I think the confusion is sometimes greater than it needs to be, and the dichotomy is often greater than it ought to be, because many times there is an attempt to make a great gap between water baptism and spirit baptism, baptism by the Holy Spirit. Well, of course, as everything that is symbolic, there is a gap. The symbol is not the reality, and people are constantly in need of reminding of that, that the symbol is not the reality. And when it comes to baptism, sometimes there is that confusion. As often, there's that same confusion in regard to the Lord's table, and often there's that same confusion in regard to the visible versus the invisible church, which might serve as illustrations of why people have difficulty with this. But because of these two realities, there is Holy Spirit baptism, and there is water baptism. As I say, sometimes people are prone to confuse the two and to think that water baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or that it guarantees the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or that it somehow finalizes the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, there is constantly the danger of some form of baptismal regeneration, baptismal salvation, as if being baptized in water is what secures or finalizes or guarantees a person's salvation, or in some cases doesn't guarantee it, but that's what makes it real. That's when it begins, and so forth and so on, all of the various teachings that we have. And of course, you have to run the gamut of Christendom to find various emphases and teachings that relate to this. But I just want to say very emphatically that water baptism is not spirit baptism, but it pictures it. It symbolizes it. And with all symbols, here's the point. The symbol is only as good as the reality. Let's take, for example, just for another illustration here, the Old Testament rite of circumcision, which marked people as members of the nation of Israel, the covenant community, the people that God had selected as his own special people, and this marked them as those people. And it symbolized the removal of the corruption of sin. And that becomes clear, particularly in some of the prophets who said things like, circumcise your hearts. Don't be so concerned about the outward ceremony of circumcision, but the circumcision that really matters is the circumcision of the heart. In other words, the changing of the heart, the regeneration of the heart, the cleansing of the heart, the work of regeneration which only the Holy Spirit can do. So circumcision becomes a symbol of that, but it's not the reality. And we know that millions, literally, of Jewish men, boys and men who were physically circumcised, died without faith, died in their sins, died in their rebellion against God, and were not saved. The circumcision didn't save them, did it? And likewise with baptism, likewise with the Lord's table. There are a lot of people who put the wrong emphasis upon the communion service, as if partaking of communion does something to save you. That's an element, an ingredient in salvation. That if you do this, you are helping to save yourself. Or help, I'm not quite sure how to put it here, but that this somehow is an important element in salvation. Of course, obviously, most people who teach these things view the totality of salvation as a series of things which you do. Baptism usually being one of them. The communion service, or whatever you want to call it, goes by various names, being another one of them. And if you do these various things and do them faithfully and regularly, then the accumulation of all of these things will save you. All of these things, if you do them faithfully and obediently and with the right heart attitude and so forth, through these means you will be saved. In other words, through these means you will save yourself. And of course, no one will say that a person could be saved totally apart from Christ. Nobody that calls himself a Christian would say that. But when you say that the death of Christ alone is not sufficient, or faith in Christ's death alone is not sufficient, you must believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized in water and observe the Lord's table and perhaps a few other things that you put on the list, depending on what particular group we're talking about that might be doing the teaching. When you start adding these things, then you are not depending upon Christ alone for salvation, and you have a combination of grace and works, but the Bible makes it clear that salvation is all of grace. You can't combine the two. In fact, when you combine the two, you have destroyed the concept of salvation by grace through faith, which is what the Bible teaches. That Jesus Christ paid the full price. He did everything that was necessary to secure the sinner's salvation. And the sinner is left to acknowledge his need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust his soul's salvation completely and fully to Jesus Christ and to the work which he did upon the cross of Calvary. And that is what saves the sinner. That is what justifies the sinner before God. And baptism, the Lord's table, any other rites, rituals, human ceremonies, human activities do not add to nor subtract one thing from the work of Christ. What are these things? They are symbols. The Lord's table is a symbol. It is a testimony. It is a symbol. There's a lot of things that are involved in it, but it is, among other things, a testimony that I have been redeemed. I have been cleansed. I have been justified. I have been regenerated. And as one who has been, I therefore identify myself with the people of God, and I identify myself with the death of Christ and the symbols of the blood and the body of Christ. And I am following the Lord, and I am obedient in remembering the Lord's death in this way. And it is a reminder. It's a symbol. It is a testimony. It is a proclamation of this truth, which has no value unless there has previously been the inward reality. If I have not been regenerated, if I have not been born again by the Spirit of God, then partaking of these elements is not only of no value, but it is actually of negative value because it is speaking a lie. It is testifying of something that is not true. It is a pretense. It is hypocrisy. It is treating the body of the Lord unworthily. It is partaking of the symbols with a heart that has never yielded to Him, has never trusted Him, has never laid down the opposition, the antagonism, the unbelief, the unwillingness to surrender that is in the hearts of all of us before we are subdued by Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. And if I partake of the symbols in that way, going through the outward ritual without the inward reality of the heart, then I have just simply added to my sin record. I am adding to my sins. I am adding to my condemnation. With your lips you worship me, but your hearts are far from me, said the prophet Isaiah to the people of God. And that is what happens with many people in partaking of communion. That's what happens with many people in the rite of baptism. As it's been said so many times, baptism won't save you. It'll only make you a wet sinner. You go into the pool a dry sinner, you come out a wet sinner. Has no saving value whatsoever, but it has great value if, having been saved, you now testify of that in this way, commanded by Christ, doing exactly what he said to do as a testimony of what God, in his grace, has already done for your soul. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.